If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome to the Inside Carolina podcast. John Siegley here with EJ Wilson and Mike Ingersoll. We are sponsored, as always, by Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Guys, for today, I figured we would go ahead and break it up. Talk first about the unfortunate loss to Virginia Tech, then shift the focus over to this week's homecoming game against the Duke Blue Devils. But first off, about the Hokie game. Mike, how fair do you think it is, all of the fan angst that we have seen over the play calling late in that game? Because I would imagine that given just the injury situation and how truly limited time coaches have in order to game plan for hyper-specific situations, would you say it's fair that it's overblown from what you've seen so far?
Yeah, listen, those coaches get paid a lot of money to know what to do in those situations. They get paid a whole lot more money than I do. So, I would say no. And that was our sentiment as players, too. The coaches get paid enough money. Coordinators are getting paid. I don't know how much our coordinator is getting paid. It's public information. You'll figure it out. But, it's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $500,000. You're getting paid enough money to know what to do in that situation. So, now, I don't think the play calling was as bad as people are making it out to be. So is the angst justified? Sure, if you're taking it from the angle that those coaches should know what they're supposed to do generally and should be prepared for that situation regardless of the excuses of we have injuries and we have – limited time to prepare and things like that. You had an entire bye week to prepare, and you knew Virginia Tech was going to come down on the wire at some point. So they should have had a plan. You always practice the 4-minute drill and the 2-minute drill. So they just had to get into their 4-minute offense earlier in the fourth quarter than they thought they were going to have to do. Sometimes you have to do that. So in terms of whether fan outrage is justified because these coaches should know what they're supposed to do, then yeah, it is justified. In terms of the play calling itself, I don't think it was as bad as it's being made out to be. It could have been better. We abandoned the run between the tackles for some reason. I'm not sure why. Our interior three offensive linemen were struggling pretty mightily with in pass protection and in the run. They were lunging in both. It felt like they were pressing inside, like they constantly felt like they had to make up for the play before, and it was like quicksand. But it also kind of felt like the offensive play calling was pressing a little bit. There were some calls we should have got. Everyone talks about the Garrett Walson non-call. You know, some of that's on Garrett, too. That route is designed. He's supposed to take a step inside and watch that end if he comes across his face and then release to the outside for the dump. He didn't do that. He took two steps, got his shoulder blown up, and got delayed by a step and a half. You know, that's sort of on him. Whether he got held or not is kind of a non-starter. So the blame to go all around. The play calling wasn't optimal. And late in the game, we're not talking about overtime yet. But, late in regulation, the play calling wasn't optimal, but it wasn't as bad as we're making it out to be. There was an execution problem, frankly.
Yeah, we'll get to the overtime here in just a little bit. We'll kind of break this down maybe period by specific period. But about in regulation, EJ, the defense really had to find an answer to Virginia Tech's third-string quarterback who came in. They were obviously not going to let him throw very much. Now, to his credit, he did have a couple really good passes. But as a defensive player, when you have somebody that is just completely different than what you've game planned for the entire time, how much does it take for you in game to adjust to just something that you really haven't prepared for at all or very little?
I really can't say that they didn't prepare at all or very little for this because Hendon Hooker had the capability of running. In fact, he had a very good rushing game against us. he had 41 yards rushing, and that was in one half. So I wouldn't blame this one on the game plan. I mean, let me take a step back. I wouldn't blame this on them having to make a mid-game or half adjustment. The original game plan should have been catered towards trying to stop a rushing quarterback. This quarterback has proved against other teams that he could run the ball. He proved in the first half that he could run the ball. I mean, 4.1 yards a carry on 10 runs. I mean, that's pretty good. So I really can't say that. I think that we really got pushed around up front all day. It was kind of like, what is this defense that we're seeing? I mean, yeah, we had a lot of injuries in the secondary, but we're pretty healthy up front. This is the same defensive line and linebacker group that's been playing on this defense all season. And I think the theme of the day was out of place. We were constantly out of place. There are a couple plays that I could call out where they ran a simple zone, and what should have been a stop, everyone else is in their gap. The edge is sealed. Everyone else is playing where they're supposed to be. But our linebackers are getting caught looking at the action in the backfield and not reading their keys. And their keys should be the offensive lineman. You watch your gap. If your gap moves, you move, unless you're going in pass coverage. So to see a play that should have been stopped for no gain, or maybe a 1 to 2 yard gain, end up being a 17 yard play, I think that really is an issue. And everyone had a good rushing day. It wasn't just the third string quarterback. Now, granted, he was a third-string quarterback. There isn't much film on him, but I go back to my original point. They're running the same playbook. They're running the same design quarterback runs that they were running when Hendon Hooker was in the game. So you know these plays. You've seen these on film. There's just a different person running this. So it just kind of blew my mind to see us just kind of get pushed around up front and for them to run the ball when they had to, when they wanted to, and when they needed to. I really did not expect to see that. I mean, if you told me that our offense had put up 41 points against Virginia Tech, I would have definitely expected us to win. I mean, granted, it was a overtime game, but I'm just kind of disappointed by what I saw from them. Hopefully they'll step it up this week against Duke. But if they can't find a way to kind of seal the plug that's leaked us in the defense and kind of just hold this thing together until they start getting some of these players back, I think that could be something that could really damage our hopes of what has really been a good season this far. I mean, yeah, we're 3-4, but I still think we have a chance to become bowl eligible and really make something out of this season. But we cannot play like we played defensively Saturday against anyone else in the ACC and expect to win.
I feel like said that last year, EJ, that same thing you just said. If you'd have told me we were going to score 41 points against X opponent and then if we were going to lose, I'd tell you were crazy. I mean, you score 40-some-odd points every, 43 points, 41 points, whatever it is. You score over 40 points, you should never lose a football game. I mean, that's outrageous.
Exactly.
But that's – I'll tell you one thing I noticed, and I don't know if you noticed this too, EJ, was in the tight outside zones. I tweeted this out. Some people saw it, but Virginia Tech's offensive tackles did a phenomenal job on our defensive ends with the tight reaches. So just hitting that outside shoulder and getting a quick seal on a tight outside zone play. So not your normal 18-19 kind of wide hitting outside zone. When you think outside zone, your traditional outside zone, it's more of a tight stretch. So it's kind of just an exaggerated inside zone play hitting a 6 or 7 hole right outside that tackle's hip. I thought their offensive tackles did a great job of getting that tight reach and getting the angle on our defensive ends. And that's what that really says is that our defensive ends did a terrible job of getting reached on those tight outside zone plays, which based on the way we're lining up now, that 3-4 defense should never happen. But it was clearly happening a little too frequently this weekend. I don't know if you saw the same thing.
Oh, no, I definitely saw the same thing. And the thing about that block is it's one of the hardest blocks to play. I mean, you know, one of my what I prided myself upon when I played was my ability to play any block that an offensive tackle gave me. And that's one of the hardest blocks to play because, I mean, one of two things could happen. You could see this block. Okay, this is a reach. If you're going against a really good offensive tackle who has really good footwork, he can make you think that this is going to be a wide reach and trap you outside and turn on you. Or you go play him square, and you play him square, the running back can read. You're now two-gapping in what is a one-gap scheme. So, no, I agree with you. Their tackles did an outstanding job of doing that, and that's something that I think that if we don't fix, another thing that we don't fix, then teams are going to see this film, and we're going to see that inside zone play every single game from every team we play until we prove that we can stop it.
Then about the offense, Mike, talking about maybe some limitations and what opponents are going to be watching for, looking where they can exploit Carolina. Where do you see the offense as still needing to improve at this point in the season?
Brian Anderson at center, and then the guards had a tough time with twist games inside. I think the left side struggled a little bit more than the right side, but nobody is absolved of liability here. Everybody had struggles on the inside, and that was both in the run and the pass. I saw our inside three lunging a lot in pass pro, and I've explained this before, but for those who haven't heard it, I mean, the biomechanics of when you lunge on your punch, I mean, you come up on your toes, your hips come up, right? All your weight goes forward, your hips will come up. When your hips go up, you come up on your toes. When you come up on your toes, your legs lock out. When your legs lock out, your feet stop moving. And when your feet stop moving, you lose. There's no way to redirect on a defensive lineman's secondary move. And I saw us get backdoored a few times by their defensive tackles. And by backdoored, I mean they would hedge to the front side, right? So whatever gap they're lined up in, and all of a sudden would just club rip or club swim to the backside shoulder and just beat you backdoor. I saw that get us beat both in the pass and the run several times, which is really disheartening because we've made a lot of progress on that in the past few weeks. And that same move you'll see in twist games, defensive linemen will just bait you as an offensive lineman. They'll bait you to commit one way on your punch, and then they just run the twist behind you and they pick you and they get in the backside gap or wherever their goal is, they'll get to that. And I saw that happen pretty frequently against Tech. So, you know, unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of blitzing that was killing us. It was just straight up one-on-one matchups in pass pro that we were losing. And it was one-on-one matchups in the run game that we were losing on singles and double teams. What Virginia Tech's defensive linemen did a really good job of in double teams, particularly down in the goal line area and down in the red zone, you see them submarine the blocker knowing there was a double team coming. And when it would go down and submarining is just literally almost fall on the ground or try to cut the offensive lineman. What that does is that forces both players in the double team, so both offensive linemen, to throw their hands down and throw their hips back. You defeat it the same way a defensive lineman would defeat a cut block. But what that prevents is it prevents that double team from getting up to the linebacker. It lets the linebacker run free and make the play. And I saw that frequently in short yardage and on the goal line and in the red zone. And if we don't get that corrected, like EJ said, I mean, it's going to be a copycat situation until we prove that we can stop it. We're going to keep getting stuff like that. That was extremely effective against us, particularly in short yardage, which is where I thought our biggest struggle was. Third and short situations, or third and on schedule, so third and four or less, we had some real problems against Tech, and we should not be having problems when we're on schedule on third down. Particularly if we're in third and one, third and two situations, those should be easy conversions, and we just weren't doing it. Now, whether it's because we got away from running between the tackles, or whether it's because we got away from our bread and butter pass plays, or because we tried getting too cute, that's a play calling issue. Take that up with Phil Longo. Those plays are designed to work, and if you execute them, no matter what the Virginia Tech's defense does, if you execute your assignments on those plays, it does not matter what the play call is, it will be successful. And we were getting beat schematically and fundamentally on a lot of those plays in short yardage, and we were losing because we failed to execute. That's disheartening because Virginia Tech is an okay team. They are not the Virginia Tech program of years past. They are not the Xavier DB, Vic Hall, Brandon Flowers, Virginia Tech team. That it's not that same program anymore. It's not the Marcus Vick led, Michael Vick led, or even Tyrod Taylor led Virginia Tech program. It's just not. They don't have the bodies or the talent that they used to have. They do still have the coordinators, but they're not executing on the same level that they used to. So this was a game that we could have stolen in this rivalry. This is a game that we should have won. And I place a lot of blame of the loss on our third yardage execution, or I guess lack thereof, or third down execution, excuse me.
All right, great stuff, man. Let's get EJ's thoughts on the defense and what they need to improve. But first, let's talk about our friends at Giant T-Shirt and GiantT-Shirt.com. They are a longtime sponsor of Inside Carolina. If you're going to be in Chapel Hill for this weekend's matchup against Duke, it is homecoming. Or if you're going to be at one of the remaining home football games, or when the basketball season starts, make sure that you swing by Franklin Street. Stop into GiantT-Shirt.com, where they have been a Franklin Street tradition for decades. They have the very best customer service. They have an excellent selection. They have anything that you could want for the Tar Heel fan and your family. locally and alumni owned as well. And if you cannot make it to Chapel Hill, you can always shop online at johnt-shirt.com, where you can enjoy the same great selection. And as a bonus, if you are a subscriber to Inside Carolina, you get 10% off of your orders, either there in store or online. You can get the 10% off code from either the Premium Basketball Message Board or the Tar Pit Premium Football Board. So shop at Giant T-Shirt and GiantT-Shirt.com, your place to go for Carolina gear. All right, EJ, so you just heard Mike wax poetically there about the offense, and it had some great stuff. I mean, those 5-minute long Mike Ingersoll rants are becoming an icy staple, and we do appreciate him.
Oh yeah, no, he's definitely good at talking. He does it for 11, so no, but no, and honestly, I mean, he was a smart football player. He's a smart guy in general, so it's always,
you know, if you guys don't appreciate me, I'll just take my ball and go home.
Yeah,
no.
Go ahead.
I'm just trying to spread some knowledge for the kids. I mean, what are we doing here?
It'll be the Mike Ingersoll podcast, 30 straight minutes with like two breaths, and that's it.
This is the Mike Ingersoll podcast brought to you by Inside Carolina. I thought that's what we were doing here.
There you go. Boom. All right, EJ, so talk to us about the defense, man, because, I mean, you laid it out earlier where the defense is kind of failing to really get their assignment, set those edges, and most importantly, I think, really just finish their tackles. So at this point in the season, how does the defense improve on that? Because I think also they've got to do a better job of getting pressure on the quarterbacks and also just stopping the rushing quarterbacks. What can be done at this point, do you think?
Tackle and fuel.
Seven games into the season, we shouldn't be having these type of conversations about the tackling, because that's something that's really, really stood out. It was a big issue last year. We're doing a better job of it this year, but it seems that we're missing these tackles in clutch situations. There were a couple plays in the first half where we had plays where we could have sacked the quarterback. One in particular, I think it was like a second down where we could have sacked him for a loss, and it would have been a third and long. But instead, he escapes, gains a couple yards, and then the next thing you know, another big play. I think that was right before the long touchdown play to Trey Turner when they bid on the pump. And, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, we're in the right position. You can see that the defensive schemes are putting us in the right position to make these plays, but we aren't making these plays. And another thing is that I don't see the intensity still on some of these pressures. I mean, I see some of the stuff that Coach Longo draws. I mean, I'm sorry, Coach Bateman draws up. And I mean, it's very impressive. I mean, I would have loved to play in this defense and to have some of that freedom to not necessarily have to stay in one place and mind the gap. You're hitting the gap hard and just doing your responsibility, but these guys don't have that tenacity. So I think the only thing at this point that would fix this, they have to be challenged. I mean, somebody in that locker room has to step up and say, hey guys, our offense is doing a really good job of putting us in a position to win these games. We have to hold up our end of the deal. And I mean, and as far as the pass rush, I think we're too talented up front not to have more sacks. Aaron Crawford started out the season very strong, and he was one of the players that really impressed me with his pass rush ability. But it's kind of died down these last few games. Jason Strobridge, he's been okay, but he's been kind of inconsistent too. And of course, going into this game, one of the players I wanted to challenge was Dominique Ross. And all these guys that I'm naming, Tamon Fox, all these guys need to be putting up bigger numbers. We talked about it in the beginning of the season with all these pressures that we thought we could get some pressure on the quarterback and really affect these games. You saw it sometimes, but it's kind of died down and become more inconsistent. And you would think coming off of a bye week that these guys would be charged up and ready to play. But what I saw was a lackadaisical, non-intense defense. And I think that was the most disappointing part about it. I mean, we had injuries, but let's play with the guys that we have. I mean, these guys have been in this program. They lift the same weights that you lifted. They watch the same film. I hope they've been in the same practices with you. And they've had a chance to take these mental reps, so they know what's going on. It's just time to go out there and execute, and they need to be challenged with that. I think that's the only thing that's going to pick it up. And if they keep struggling with these rushing quarterbacks, I mean, like Mike mentioned, and like I said earlier, this is something that they're going to keep on seeing. You're going to see teams who've had a consistent starting quarterback start to put in a more mobile quarterback or start running some wildcat looks to send to this defense until we prove that we can stop it. So, that's something that we need to take care of on the edge. And all this, it seems like all of these are kind of leading back to some of our edge players. I mean, Tamon Fox, Jason Strowbridge, these are guys that are that NFL people are they're talking about playing on the next level, and they need to really prove themselves. I mean, they're in the right scheme. I just want to see more production from these guys. I mean, I really don't know what else to say, because I feel like that everything that we saw on Saturday was everything that we may see this in one game. They may get some pressure on the quarterback, but they may have trouble with the run. Then they'll stop the run. Then, oh, we didn't get much pressure on the quarterback. It's like Saturday we saw all of these things exposed, and it kind of leads me to wonder, like, are we going to get better? Are we going to come out? Are they working in? Are they watching film? Are they going hard in practice? Are they getting the extra reps in to fix what's broken? And I just hope on Saturday we can see a better product than we saw, or all the great things that they did in the beginning of the season, all the close wins that they got, all the great things that Sam Howell has been doing is going to be for naught if they can't finish this season strong and win the games that they're supposed to win.
Yeah, what are you going to say to EJ, John? Huh? What are you going to say to EJ now? Huh? I timed that. That was way longer than my little rant.
Go, did you time me? Did you time me?
I just think that you're just jealous that EJ stole the spotlight from me a little bit there. That's what I think.
Yeah, the jealousy I have for EJ is a topic for another day.
Yeah.
We don't have enough time on this podcast to talk about all the things that I hate EJ for.
And that's what makes us so close.
It is. It
exactly.
Is.
Oh,
we're besties.
I feel the love. You can feel it.
You stay
in
out
the
of this,
air
John.
Tonight.
You stay out of this, Sigley. I swear to God, you stay out of this.
Whatever. I don't want to hear. I still had to clean up y'all's mess in Granville Towers. You both owe me for that forever.
All right. That's true.
So let's switch over to the Duke game, because, like EJ said, it is a huge, huge, important matchup. I think the most important game against Duke for a while here, because if the Heels are going to keep their hopes alive of challenging for the Coastal Division title, they must win this game. Having come off, though, a multiple overtime grueling road game against Virginia Tech, Mike, how can the team recover mentally and physically in time to really match the intensity that we know Duke is going to bring coming into Saturday?
I mean, if you're not recovered after 7 days, I don't know what to tell you guys. I mean, if you're not recovered at 20 years old after 7 days from the last time you played a football game, I mean, you're just not – your body's not built for this sport. I mean, they'll be fine physically. They've gotten their treatment. I mean, they do a better job now with treatment and post-game recovery and recovery throughout – you know, active recovery throughout the week than we ever did. And it's not an admonition of our coaching staff. It's just that the players themselves – coaches tried doing that for us. We just didn't understand the benefit, frankly. You know, these guys understand it more now. This generation understands taking care of your body and your body is your temple. They understand that a whole lot better than we ever did. So they'll be fine on the physical front. And frankly, mentally, emotionally, I wouldn't be concerned about that. I mean, you just lost a 6-overtime game to a team you should have won. You should be pissed. And you got Duke coming in here. I mean, we've had recent struggles against Duke. It's time for that to stop. I mean, this is the perfect opportunity to kind of wash the bad taste out of your mouth, which I'm sure is the theme this week. Wash the taste out. Duke is a chance to get some redemption. You gotta get the victory bell and keep it in Chapel Hill like you used to. This is the first step in that process, and it's also the first step in getting back to 500 and keeping the season on the right track. So, you know, we got 5 games left. You know, they got a chance. I think all 5 games at this point, frankly, are winnable. Based on what I've seen so far this season, I'm not going to go as far as to say they're going to win them all. I'm frankly going to stick to my preseason prediction of 4-8. But I also, like I said this weekend to some people, I'm going to double down on 4-8 being a success. Carolina has been more than competent in every game they've played. But, you know, if they want to string together some wins and really create some hype going into next year, you know, this is where it starts. I mean, it's first – you know, the first authentic, true rivalry game, and you've got 3 of them on the schedule between Duke, Virginia, and NC State coming up. I mean, if you could win all 3 of those, I mean, boy, I mean, talk about an impressive season in Mac's first year, considering what we've had the last couple of years. So, I mean, from a preparation standpoint, I mean, these guys should just be pissed off. There should be an extra layer, an extra level of focus and preparedness in terms of film study and game planning and things like that. But the physical preparedness is going to be there. I mean, these guys know how to take care of themselves. So I'm not concerned about that. What I'm concerned about is what type of team are we going to see come out this next weekend against Duke? And is that a team that is going to go out and beat a rival, or is it a team that's going to sit there and lick their wounds and play woe is me after what happened against Virginia Tech and Clemson and some of these other close games this year? You know, we will find out on Saturday at 4 o'clock, but I have a feeling you're going to see a turnaround in front of the home crowd, another sellout. I think you'll see some good stuff.
Yeah, the home crowd is what I want to ask you about, EJ, because like Mike said, it is a sellout. It is homecoming. And I talked with Gregory Hall earlier in a different podcast, and he mentioned that the student body is actually still very hyped up for this game. The student ticket lottery that they're doing now for football games, imagine that those tickets were gone. And he actually had people ask him for extras. I think that's a huge positive sign. But how do you think the team will respond to having a game that will be a night game after halftime, basically? How much extra do you think that can give this defense that you said needs to be more fired up and needs to really work on finishing their plays?
Oh, I definitely think it's going to have a huge, huge impact. I mean, it's homecoming. A lot of the guys are going to be back in town. A lot of Mac's former players, I'm sure, are going to come in town. It's probably going to be the most star-studded homecoming game in Carolina in a long, long time. I'm almost sure of it. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons for these guys to play well, but are they? Are they going to come out and use that intensity for good? Are they going to watch this film, digest it, see what they need to improve on? Because guess what? Duke's leading rusher is their quarterback. So, I mean, they're pretty much facing the same monster again. And, I mean, it's a rival. Like Mike said, it's about time that this whole going back and forth and Duke being competitive with us, I think it's time for that to stop. Yeah, we had our close games with them while we were there, but I'm proud to say that I was 4-0 against them. So, I mean, this is the game. This is the game for the bell. I mean, if you can't get jacked up about that, then I don't know. I mean, this is the feeling when you walk around Keenan on game day now. It's infectious. It's a different atmosphere, and it's only what I can imagine it was like when Coach Davis came and we started getting all those recruits, and we really kind of turned our prospects around fast. I mean, we went from being 3-9 to being ranked at one point in the next season. So the energy is there, the support is there for them. I mean, in other times, if you saw this team lose, you start to see some of the fair weather fans who were intense in the beginning of the season kind of wane away, but everyone is still excited about this game. So I hope that it does charge them up a little bit, because as I mentioned, they're facing the same monster. They're facing a team that, yeah, it's going to be an away game, but I mean, over the past few years, they've been gaining more and more confidence. And let's not mention what me and Mike love to reference, the fact that I don't know if it's still there, that they had to beat Carolina stitched into their jersey. So, I mean, there are so many reasons for this defense to play well and redeem themselves this weekend. I just hope that they can use some of them to fuel them along to have a great game.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and take our very last commercial break. When we get back, let's go and wrap it up by talking about some specific tactics that you think should be employed against the Blue Devils this weekend. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
And we're back with the Inside Carolina podcast. EJ Wilson and Mike Ingersoll joining me for this one. Guys, let's go ahead and talk about tactics. Mike, what would you expect Coach Longo to do against Duke? Do you think that they will try to get the run more involved, something that you said they kind of abandoned in Virginia Tech? Or do you think that it will be much of the same as what we've seen, which to his credit has been largely successful?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they put up points in, and I mean, they put up impressive points in every game. I mean, even the Wake Forest loss was 20-some-odd, almost, well, I mean, what was the final score of that game? I can't remember. We scored 27 to finish that game off, 21, 24, something like that. So, I mean, the team is fully capable. I mean, what Longo's doing, whether you like the play calling last game or not, all right, at the end of that game, we had 41 points. I mean, you're putting up that kind of, you're putting up those kind of numbers, you're doing something right. So I would expect him to emphasize the run early in the game, try and get some confidence back on the ground, both in our offensive line and in our running backs, and just see if we can keep the ball out of Duke's hands. Like EJ said, the leading rusher on our team is our quarterback, right? And if we're going to help our defense out, one of the things we got to do is just hang on to the ball and keep Duke's offense off the field. Our defense is pretty good when it's fresh. When it gets tired late in games and it gets worn down, we start to see some issues, and we saw that in the second half against Virginia Tech. We saw that, you know, late in the first half against Virginia Tech. They're on the field too long, they get worn down, and, you know, after fatigue sets in, they start to make some mistakes. So the number one way we can help our defense out is to keep Duke off the field. And the best way you can do that is to run the ball. Now, that's not going to mean – that doesn't mean that, that Longo's not going to be calling our quick strike passing plays, that we're not going to have some wrinkles thrown in, you know, like we saw that double reverse flea flicker deal that went for a touchdown to Antoine Green against Tech. Like, we'll see things like that, gadget plays like that, that'll get quick, big points, and the offense will be off the field in a play or two. That's going to happen. We're also going to break long runs or break long pass plays, and we're going to score quickly in drives. We'll score touchdowns and only last a minute and a half or 2 minutes off the clock, right? But we will have some longer sustained drives. I expect to see an emphasis on the type of play calling that will get you those longer sustained drives to keep Duke off the field. I would say that you'd see incorporation of our tight ends a little bit more into the game plan, but they broke my heart against Tech. Carl Tucker broke my heart absolutely on that. We were backed up on the goal line. He had a 25-yard gain. He just dropped it right in his hands right down the middle. If you remember what I said, was the best way you're going to – the number one way to beat Tech offensively, right, is for us to go ahead and hit our tight ends down the middle, open things up around the perimeter so that the middle of the field gets spread out some, and then just start dumping it to our tight ends. I already talked about Garrett Walston getting jacked up a little bit on that slow, on that tight end dump that should have gone for a touchdown. Obviously, we had a 25-yard gain to Tucker that he just dropped. So our tight ends kind of let me down. But I would see an emphasis on the running game, particularly in between the tackles. I would hope to see Antonio Williams get some more carries, because I don't think that kid's getting the kind of love that he should be getting. All he does is produce when he comes in the game. So I hope we see a little bit more of Antonio Williams, some more in-between-the-tackle stuff, but I would expect to see that just to help our defense to keep him off the field.
All right, EJ, final word is yours, my friend. On the defensive side, would you change up anything schematically against Duke, knowing that they are going to have another rushing quarterback that the Heels are going to have to face off against?
You have to change it up schematically. I mean, I think the best reference for this would be not as this extreme, but I think they should take this approach to stopping running quarterbacks, because it's been an issue. When we played Georgia Tech, we completely changed and remodeled our defense in 1 week, and we were able to be successful at that because we knew that was going to be an issue and we addressed it. Granted, Georgia Tech was way more one-dimensional than Duke is, but still, something needs to be done. Maybe we switch up the front a little bit. Something needs to be done to stop this running quarterback, because if we don't, if something isn't schematically changed, they're going to run up and down the field like every other team and with the running quarterback has been doing against us this year. So, again, and I go back to the coaches challenging this defense. I mean, yeah, we have some injuries in the secondary, but we were caught out of place a lot. Like, like, we need to work on something schematically to stop a running quarterback, and we need to work on our eye discipline. But once again, that's something that a player has to take on internally. A coach can only put you in the right position to make a play, in the right position to have a positive impact on the rest of the defense. But if you don't have good eye discipline, if you're not reading your keys, then it's all going to fall apart. I mean, when I look at some of the plays against Virginia Tech, it wasn't necessarily a complete collapse of the whole defense. Like, on some of the big plays, yeah, especially the run to tie the game at 31-31. That was just completely ridiculous. But a lot of these plays were just people being out of their gaps, people not having their eyes on their keys and pass coverage. So, once again, these things are very fixable, but the players need to internalize this, take it personally. Someone in the locker room has to step up. And I honestly think that it has to be Chad Surratt. He has to take ownership of the mistakes he's made, and he has to tell his teammates that he's going to be better, and they have to be better too. They have to play hard. They have to hit gaps intensely when they're going on these pressures, because if your defense is revolving around sending pressures and constantly putting heat on the opposing team's offense, then you have to do it with conviction. I just don't see these guys doing it with conviction. So I think the only thing that really needs to be changed schematically is to address the rushing quarterback. Everything else is just these players need to decide, what do they want the rest of the season to be like? Do they want to hang their hats on the success they had early on in the season, or do they want to finish strong and do something that really hasn't been done at Carolina over the past few years?
Just real quick, EJ, follow up with that. With what specifically do you think that they could do to defend against the rushing quarterback? Like, would you have a guy running a spy? Would you be bringing safeties up into the box? What would you envision there?
I would honestly run more four down linemen. I mean, you have to have that. I don't care how talented you are. It's hard to play the run against, like Mike said, with some of those inside zone type blocks when you're standing up. And with this being these guys' first year doing this, after they've been in this defense for a while, it's a big adjustment. You can only take so many live reps in training camp and during the week, during the season. It's just an adjustment. So I think if they get let these guys put their hand in the dirt a little bit more, and something that they're a lot more comfortable with, I think that'll address it a little bit more, because schematically, people are in the right places to stop these runs. They're either they're sticking to blocks, they're not reading their keys, and not having eye discipline. So if that would probably be the only thing schematically I would change, I wouldn't change any of the play calling. I don't think we necessarily need to dedicate a spy to this quarterback. He does have some big playability with his legs, but I think that if we play discipline, if we play discipline up front and just do the same thing that we've been doing earlier on in the season, I think that we can stop them. Yeah, when the quarterback runs, there's an extra blocker in there. But, I mean, these are all excuses that I'm making from the outside looking in. I think that if these guys can get their hand into their – do something that they're a little bit more comfortable with, I think that we're at the point now where we honestly need to try that.
All right, great stuff, guys. Well, look, we'll go ahead and call this one to an end. We will speak next week after the Duke game. Hopefully the Heels do come out there and respond, get a big-time win in front of the home crowd. But for now, thank you guys for talking with me, and we'll speak again soon.
All right, man.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.